The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
It's Fee Week on ESPN as we continue Jim Balvano's fight against cancer.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Big Ben with everything on the line. He finds one last drive and then watches the best finish of the NFL year. Plus, this Tampa twosome has back-to-back on the brain. We'll tell you which one is the real MVP. And then a Sunday night smackdown. How the D in KC suddenly looks super. But why is the O suddenly MIA? All that and more as we get up with you on this Monday, starting right now. As always, presented by T-Mobile. As always, surrounded by the A-Team. And as always, let's get right to it. Game of the day yesterday in Pittsburgh. The arch rivals ready to go. I got two guys on this set who know a little something about
yes,
this
we
rivalry.
Do.
Here we go, Danny. There's Ben Roethlisberger. There's Lamar Jackson. We're ready to go. Opening drive of the game. Ravens, 11th play. Lamar can back up and make plays sometimes.
Not this time, Greeny. This is a bad plan and bad decision. Lamar fading away, throws that ball up for grabs, takes points off the board. In this game, that's huge.
Mayor, that was a touchdown last week. In this case, it bites them. Meanwhile, second quarter, this time he does find Mark Andrews.
Yeah, I like this one. Mark Andrews down the seam. Kind of a blown coverage by Pittsburgh. Nice job seeing him. And then he punches it in with Freeman. Freeman's getting a little bit better in this run game every week for this Baltimore team.
That was the very next play. The 16th play of the drive. Ravens up 7-0. 48 seconds left in the half. Oh, this should be a touchdown.
He's going to make up for it. Don't worry. But Deontay Johnson has had such a nice season. Just let this ball kind of get past his eyes. Huge drop. And I'm thinking, you cannot drop that play in this game.
7-3 Baltimore at the half. Early fourth now. Steelers down to, oh, he's wide open.
I love it. Whoa. Put a bit of pump fake by Big Ben. Deontay Johnson's route running on this play is beautiful. We're going to break it down. Causes miscommunication on Baltimore's secondary.
Extra point, no good. Steelers down 10-9 now. Jackson sacked T.J. Watt.
Yeah, too many of these, though. Second and 10, there's completions out there for Lamar. He's trying to make a big play. T.J. Watt never stops rushing the quarterback.
Under 3 minutes now. Steelers season on the line. Roethlisberger, it's tipped and it's picked, but wait, there's a flag. Is it a good call?
I thought it was an awful call. You
awful
can't
call.
Allow one
awful.
Side to push yep. off and not allow the other side just to get a little grabby.
There's a rule. You push, I pull.
Yeah.
Awful. I like it.
Interception wiped off the board, and that sets up this. Johnson, a 5-yard score. They need the 2-point conversion, Dan. They're going to go in that direction for Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, again, a little bit of a pick or a rub against this defense, and a nice job by Freiermuth getting out into the flat.
20-13 Pittsburgh, but plenty of time for Lamar. Here's Hollywood Brown.
I love this. It's in rhythm. They can see in the middle of the field he's got that big in-breaker to Hollywood. Good third down conversion.
So that would lead to this on a 3rd and 5. It's Lamar. It's Sammy Watkins. An extra point would tie it. But take a look at John Harbaugh.
I love the adjustment, and I love the aggression by Harbaugh.
We like the decision. Rex, we like the decision.
Absolutely, the only decision.
How about the play?
Ah, great play.
So close.
Beautiful play call. These guys are going to make that. Lamar Andrews slows down just a little bit there, a little bit more air, a little bit more touch. They're going to get that.
Ben, 236, 2 touchdowns, and the season stays alive.
Tried to win the game right there. We were pretty much out of corners, you know, at that point in time, so. There's an opportunity to try to win the game right there.
After this game, I'm just enjoying this. I'm not going to think about the future, just like we talked about. I don't have time to worry about what the future holds. I'll worry about that when the season's over.
Ben has been pretty solid in terms of his expressions that he's singly focused on what it is that we're doing now. He'll deal with those things on the other side of this journey, and I'm with him on it. It is not a distraction. I thought it was funny that it was seemingly a story this weekend, to be quite honest with you.
What they're talking about there was the story from Adam Schefter yesterday that Roethlisberger has been privately telling people in his circle that this will be his last season. Candidly, it wouldn't be a shock if it were. That said, it is also not a shock that RC got one right. On Friday on this show.
Again, my dog? Again, my dog?
Friday, you
same
were.
Verse,
your percentage
same
is right up there with mine lately.
You were the only person on this set that said the Steelers were going to win. How did they do it?
I think the Steelers came out and played the type of football that we knew would help them win all season. And that was great defense. Yeah.
Try to find a way to manufacture the run and stick with calling those things consistently and allow Big Ben to make two or three big plays to win you the game. And that's what we did. This is a defense that stepped up to the plate. They pressured Lamar Jackson. But also, I picked this game as a winner for the Steelers because the Baltimore Ravens offense isn't good. They aren't a power run football team anymore, which the Pittsburgh Steelers have some issues with. They aren't a team that can beat you outside one-on-one constantly with the quarterback who throws on time. So all of those things worked for the defense. But this was about Big Ben finding ways to make plays late in this game. And we've been on Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator, all year. What he dialed up in the red zone late in this game was perfect. Yeah. It got them easy throws. That's why they win this football game. And when Coach Tomlin said this, maybe my message isn't resonating to the locker room. He said that about the last few games. Mm-hmm. I knew it would resonate this week. Mm. I knew when Renegade played, they'd be hyped. They'd understand the rivalry and step up. And that's what the Steelers did.
Season on the line, no question. But at every game, there's a winner and a loser. Rex, for this the game, was this about the Steelers winning or about the Ravens losing?
No, the Ravens gifted them the game. And
spoken,
I'm going to tell
like
you
a
this.
True Raven.
You know damn well I'm not going to give Pittsburgh credit. But here's the thing. Like, up until the fourth quarter, you and I watched the game together. Yeah. I'm like, RC, the only thing I'm recognizing from your team is the uniforms. Because we are going like back. That's what we do. But at the end, they put up 17 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when it got close at the end, all right, game on the line, third down play. The one thing I know about Ben Roethlisberger, I only went against him a million times, all right? If you're inside the 10-yard line, whatever you do, do not play zero coverage.
Right.
Never, because he makes plays. It comes out of his hands. He's smart. They run the pivot, touchdown.
Yeah.
And then the two-point play is the same darn thing. So to me, you can't do that. You gifted them that. I have no idea why the hell they did that. You play zone against them, and that's it. I knew it was a bad matchup for Baltimore going into this game because they can't cover anybody. Harbs talked about it when he said that, hey, when we're out of corners, now Humphrey goes down.
Yeah.
We're going for two. And it was interesting. But, man, this team,
that's what it'd be
without corners,
year,
they can't cover this team.
Yeah, Marlon Humphrey got hurt in that game. It's a peck, and we're not yet quite sure just how bad it's going to be. But that's a team that certainly could not afford to absorb any more injuries. Yeah. Dan, I know you have some tape.
Well, I would agree. I thought Baltimore gave the game away, mainly because of drops and sacks. But two things about their offense. First of all, I think it's one of the, if not the most sloppy pass game in the NFL. It certainly has become that over the last 5 weeks. There's no rhyme, rhythm, routine, detail to it. Baltimore, get a plan for zero blitz, please. You haven't in 6 weeks. It's been since Cincinnati. We saw it last night, 3rd and 6. You got 6 guys up at the line of scrimmage. You only got 5 in protection. Bush follows the back. Where is the answer in this situation to get the ball out? No one to throw the ball to. Hollywood Brown's not there. They're getting cut on the shallow cross. Lamar fades away, takes 3 points off the board. You think they wanted those 3 points at the end of the game? This is 7 guys up. Look at Mark Andrews. He's going to give his eyes to Lamar Jackson right as this ball gets snapped. Lamar's not going to see it. Minka Fitzpatrick's got to come all the way from the left side of the screen, come over and cover. It's thrown behind because he feels that cover. Now, they end up scoring. But, again, it's another example of not having an answer. We saw it against Cincinnati. We saw it against Miami. We saw it. And to your point, that's why this offense right now has become so stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
Their pass game is so sloppy. Mm-hmm. There is no structure to it. There's no detail to it. And I can't, for the life of me, fathom or understand how a such well-coached organization and football team could be so poorly coached on offense when it comes to that.
Sometimes I watch their offense play, and it looks like the strategy is, Lamar, go do something unbelievable, and then we'll play defense.
Yeah, but there's no trust in this offense. When Dan is talking about come up with a plan, when you're coming up with a plan, the quarterback has to believe it. Lamar Jackson doesn't look like a quarterback that believes anything. Listen, I did not play quarterback in high school. I did not play quarterback in college or the pros, but I did play quarterback in Little League, and that's exactly how I played. It was the best athlete on the field. You snap in the ball, you get him to go out and make a play. We've been asking Greg Roman to develop this pass game and let this pass game progress for years for Lamar Jackson. It is actually regressing in the 2021 season. And if this team continues to go this way, they may not make the playoff.
Well, that's the my question, thing, right? Too. Yeah. Like when we were talking about it, this team can go from the number one seed in the AFC to out of the playoffs. That's how big this game was. You don't get these things back. And right now, with the injuries they've had in the back end, this finally is over the top. If Humphreys can't play,
it's
over the top right now on that defense. And their offense has to carry the load. And you're right, the last 4 weeks, where's their offense been? So to me, they could go from the very top to all the way out.
I would say in relation to the zero blitz, number one, your job should be, how do we make sure we don't get hurt? That's exactly what happens on that third and sixth play. That's why the plan matters. And then, Ken, you heard it. And I'll send to the two-point play with between Lamar and Mark Andrews. I would say 99 out of 100 times, one of those two guys makes that play. You Lamar either makes just a little bit better throw, or Mark kind of makes that one-handed catch. Yep. It just so happened that last night in that rivalry game, on the road, decimated, neither of them made it. And that's why I was shocked that neither of those guys made that play.
Sometimes we're 6 inches away from a conversation being completely different, which it would be if it winds up holding on to that ball. But I think to Rex's point, if you think about the plot that Lamar Jackson makes the week before, where he runs backwards 25 yards and throws the touchdown, we're all marveling at it. But at the end of the day, that's their play. You can't be counting on that.
No, you can't count on that, but they've seen it so many times. I think it's much like we've seen Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills become what we've seen the Kansas City Chiefs come with Patrick Mahomes. And I know people don't count these teams as the same type of quarterbacks, but the quarterbacks do so much for who they are.
All right,
you depend on.
Give me a camera on Rex's face for the answer to this question quick. Which one of these two, if I told you right now, one of these two teams is going to win the division, Ravens or Steelers, which one's it going to be?
Don't think about it. You know
I'm going to say Ravens. I can't say Steelers. That'll never come out of my mouth, Brady.
All right.
That'll never come out of my mouth.
I love you.
He won't say it, but you know he thinks it. All right, we're just getting started. Interesting game last night. The Kansas City defense. Suddenly the KCD looks super, but the O is MIA. What does it all mean for the Kansas City Chiefs? We'll talk about it, plus the Tampa twosome that has back-to-back on the brain. But will the defense derail these plans? Up is down. What's going on in the NFL? We'll try and make sense of it all next. Get up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is presented by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network.
I can't do this Don't Give Up thing all by myself. This whole Fight This Journey thing is not a solo venture. This is something that requires support.
The V Foundation established the Stuart Scott Memorial Fund 7 years ago, helping to support minority scientists and to better understand the cancer disparities experienced by patients from minority ethnic or racial populations. ESPN and the V Foundation proud to support this fund in Stewart's honor, and you can as well by visiting v.org/Stewart. All right, on Get Up, back to the NFL action. If you didn't stay up late last night, here's what you missed. KC in Denver, 12th play of the opening drive. Patrick Mahomes hasn't done this dance since week one.
Yeah, Greeny, I'd say it's the best he's looked since doing it last year, is the ability to get outside of the pocket, scramble coverages there, and get to a touchdown. The best he's looked doing it this year.
His first rushing TD since the opener. Chiefs up now. Broncos going for it on 4th and 1.
Yeah, aggressive. You see 4th and 1 conversion, 4th and 7. Man-to-man, you see Sutton on that slant. I love that aggressive call. But then this one, 4th down and 2 after this 20-play drive. I think in that moment with the clock, take the 3 points and make it a 10-6 game.
That was their third fourth down try on the drive. It was a 20-play drive, 10-3 Chiefs at the half. Mahomes, Tyreek, Watt.
Well, triple pumps are always bad in the NFL. When pump, you're going to see that ball go off Hill's hands. Surtain with another interception. That comes a play after another Tyreek Hill drop.
Mahomes, 12 picks this year, but then Teddy gives it right back.
I hated the spacing by Denver's receivers on this. Thornhill just in the middle of the field. He could have picked off either throw.
Under 10 minutes to play. Broncos going for it on a 4th-and-2. And look what happens.
Well, Sorensen, the weak spot of this defense, the guy that teams had decided to attack. That ball gets tipped. He's in the right place. Credit him for not only making that play, but look. Oh, ooh, ooh, ooh. 49 with the touchdown.
The celebration is on. And so the Chiefs wind up with a win in which the final score is going to look very different than the game did. Patrick Mahomes, 15 of 29, 184 yards, one interceptions, no interception, no passing touchdowns. Chiefs get the win. But as I said, the KCD is fine. The O is MIA. And teams, you said this in our meeting, teams are still playing them like, well, you can't just settle for field goals against Kansas City. The defense is really the strength of this team.
Yeah. I mean, when you watch the game, the unit on KC that teams like, feels they fear and respect is their defense, not their offense right now. Yeah. Their offense yesterday, I'd say, is this. Number one, it was about drops and about misses. There's misses on tape. These are misses from Patrick Mahomes, and it's been the story for a couple weeks now. That's a miss between him and Travis Kelce. Play action pass. He's going to have a shot to Tyreek Hill here. There's a little bit of pressure. That's a miss. I've seen Patrick hit that time after time after time. This is a miss now to Pringle. The feet are all over the place. The drop down, shallow cross, just get your feet set. This one's going to be to Travis Kelce on the out route. But then there are those drops. And the drop that stands out to me is not the dropped interception. This is the drop that stands out to me.
I know exactly what it's going
to
be.
Watch. I just want everyone to – this looks like a player that's not confident in Tyreek Hill. He's, like, waiting for the ball. He's bracing for the ball. It's like when I watch some kids. My kids go and make a catch. He's like kind of bracing himself for it. That tells me he's not confident in his hands. He's not confident. Then the next play is that tipped interception off the drop by Patrick Surtain.
So you see the question on the screen. What's wrong with Mahomes and the Chiefs offense?
Listen, this offense isn't good. This offense is a shell of itself. This offense is just what we used to see, right? Everything on the outside looks exactly the same, but the guts, the intestines, the organs are different. Mm. And the organ that switched the most is the heart of this team, and that heart is now the defense. When you watch Patrick Mahomes, he isn't confident. When you watch this offense try to move the football down the field, they do not have an identity. They don't understand how they can attack defenses and impose their will on them like we used to see. And so now when you come into the stadium against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, you always believe you have a chance to win because you don't think that they can score the same way they used to.
Yeah.
Think about this run that they went on. When they started this like 4 or 5 game streak, we thought about playing the Las Vegas Raiders, who were number one. You were playing the Dallas Cowboys. You were playing the Green Bay Packers. Well, there's been games other than the Las Vegas Raiders where they don't even score 20 points on offense. And they're going to think, and people are going to think, the Kansas City fans are going to believe that they're back, but they are not back. This team is still in trouble offensively, and it'll be tough to win a championship this way.
If Rodgers played that game, Green Bay would have blown him out. But that's neither here nor there. Rex, it's Mahomes. It's Tyreek. It's Kelce. It's Andy Reid. What's wrong? If you have all those guys, why is their offense struggling?
Well, it's funny because both you guys talked about confidence. That's what they lack. And it starts with your offensive line. If you have no confidence in your offensive line, you play with happy feet like the quarterback's doing in the pocket. All of a sudden, you're fighting the ball as receivers and things like that because you don't know when you're going to get it again. This used to be the greatest unit in the National Football League.
Yep.
You better get back to it. This and there's some merit to it. This offensive line has given up more pressures than any offensive line in the NFL. 175 pressures. Where'd I get that from? Way to go, Himbo. All right. But it backs up himself. What I believe. But I believe it. And that's what we had talked about, and it's backed up by stats.
It's crazy really to watch because, and you could probably speak to this better than me, when I watch the defense, I feel like the defense lines up and goes, we are better than you. We don't care who you are. We are going to stop you. And I feel like the offense lines up and is like, hopefully this works out.
Yeah.
You
know, It is a very confusing set of circumstances with an offense that's been one of the greatest in league history. We'll get back to it. But we got to show you this game yesterday. Detroit and Minnesota, come on.
Yeah, Lions.
4 minutes to play. Lions up 2, going for it on a 4th-and-1 deep in their own territory. Did we like this decision?
I love the decision. You haven't won a game. You're being aggressive. You got a chance to salt the game away. Play calls doesn't work. Credit Minnesota's defense for playing discipline.
And then it turns into this. Cousins to the best receiver in the NFL.
I'm not putting him up there. He's in the conversation, though.
He had 11 catches, 182 yards. They go for two, and they don't get it. They were 0 for 3 on two-point conversions in this game. And keep that in mind. 23 seconds left. 3rd and 6 clock. Tick, tick, ticking. Goff, TJ Hockenson.
It's a great job by Hockenson. Just getting enough of the first down. Snap your head around.
4 seconds left. 4th and 2. Can the Lions finally get a win? Here's the play.
First victory of the year on the line. Goff's got it. Back, looks, throws, and
yes!
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! They did it! Amon-Ra St. Brown, the receiving end! Oh, they're rushing the field! They've done it!
There will be no winless season for the. How about Lorex? Lorex loves it.
Me and the boys.
Dang
are
right.
Me and the boys are popping champagne.
Yo, like Mercury Morris, baby. Here comes Dan Campbell.
To say that I'm proud of you would be a major understatement, gentlemen. That's the way to just fight one more time, and it pays dividends. You know what we did? We found a way to win today when we had to do it. We found a way.
I want to give game ball to coach.
Look at that team fighting for their coach. No they question. Love him. Meanwhile, a couple of quick hitters here. RC, the Bears got crushed by the Cardinals yesterday. What do we say about the Bears today?
The Bears absolutely stink, but we knew this before this game. We knew that the Arizona Cardinals were the better team. We knew that Andy Dalton, just like I said last year, was still turkey bacon. And those guys went out. They fought hard. They tried to play. They just aren't good enough. They aren't good enough offensively, defensively. They fell off from their championship level play that we've seen throughout years, and they just have to reset and be ready for next year.
Dan, the Giants lose to the Dolphins yesterday. What do we say about the Giants?
That the New York Giants absolutely stink. And they're on their
that
way.
That is expert analysis.
They are on their way to a complete overhaul. Candidly, they should blow the whole place up. They got to get a new general manager. Yep. They got a new head coach. They got to get a new quarterback. And they got to get a new tailback. The reality is this.
A new tailback?
Blow the whole place up.
Outside of that, they're loaded.
They are loaded.
How about the Jets yesterday against the Eagles?
I get it. The Jets stink. And, you know, I'm going to say this. Like, their defense is awful.
An embarrassment.
There's no question they're awful. I think it's going to be the most important offseason in Jet history. Wow. They've got to get this thing fixed next year.
Their defense can only be fixed with two words. And I got them for you. Rex Ryan.
Whoa.
That's it.
We only take head coaching jobs around here,
no
baby.
No way. All right, coming up, this Tampa twosome has back-to-back on the brain. But will the Bucs defense derail those plans? We'll explain next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Get Up, presented by T-Mobile. Rolling on, Bucs and Falcons. Strange game yesterday. Scoreless Brady with a 1st and goal, and his new favorite receiver is Leonard Fournette. How about this out of the backfield?
You're not lying, Greeny. A little fake to him. I love the touch by Brady, just over the top. And did you know we can go one-handed like this, Arsene?
Hey, man, this is what we do in the boot, bro. Make plays. Dude. I see you,
Mark
7.
Andrews needed
that. Meantime, Ryan Clark, I thought you couldn't run the ball against this Tampa defense.
Well, you know what? That's what Dan Orlovsky said last week, and the reason why the Colts had to give it to Carson Wentz. But what? In Atlanta, Arthur Smith knows we can run it down their throats if we just hand it off.
That was 39 yards from Cordarrelle Patterson. Patterson now 17 for Mike Davis. We're tied at 7.
Like Finding Nemo, just keep swimming.
Yeah, later in the 40.
How about this throw to Mike Evans? How about this?
I love the eyes. He holds his eyes to the left, then comes back and rips one of those hole shots in between the corner and the safety. Beautiful placement by Brady.
And that sets up on a first to go. They have so many weapons. Cameron Brate.
You got Moss! I see you, Cam Brate, dunking.
Can I get some of the gloves?
Second
gloves
quarter now. Rex, how about Rob Gronkowski? How many times have we seen this, Rex?
Against me personally, about 30 times. So, yeah, no different.
So the Bucs are up 20-10. Now they're inside their own 10-yard line, final half, minute of the half. What are they doing?
Hey, Greeny, when you're backed up touchdown, in your own end zone, a bad play can happen to anybody.
In that case, it happened to the best quarterback ever.
You're stupid.
That was a good line. Third quarter, Falcons down 20-17. Here comes Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, this was nice. Vita Vea was really the only guy yesterday. They got some pass rush. Suh gets a huge sack in that moment.
They sack Matt Ryan 5 times, and then it's Gronk again.
Well, the space, they put him one by one. They get all that space man-to-man. I love the throw by Brady. And Gronk does such a great job shielding the defender with his body.
Brady, 368 and 4 touchdowns. Gronk caught 2 of those. They are now the second most prolific duo of all time. Only Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison connected for more touchdowns as a duo ever. And it really is starting to become Rob Gronkowski, who is becoming their and Leonard Fournette.
Well, last week we said, or I said, I felt like they won the game because of Gronk. I felt that way again yesterday, but more was the usage, the information, a little old school when the Patriots would split him up by himself and Tom's going, okay, is it man or zone? I know exactly what to do. And you saw that a little bit with them playing him in that solo position. They motion him from the outside to inside. He's matched by a corner. Now Brady goes, okay, it's zone coverage because the corner was out there. Alert, alert to the second play. Watch the communication by everybody on the offense. Now he's going to change the protection. Fournette, the offensive line's got that guy and then that guy. So Fournette can play fast now knowing I just got the one extra defender over the top. It's zone. Leonard Fournette gets to the line of scrimmage, and he's already got his head around the Tom Brady. 4th and 4, you get that conversion. But go back to 3rd down. Brady sees Gronk by himself, soloed, matched by safety, man-to-man coverage. I got 7 guys in the middle field. I know it's man, probably going to be pressure. Where's my matchup? Where's my leverage that I love? Outbreaking route, hiking route, Godwin on the out. So 3rd and 10 turns into 4th and 4, and that's how we get that conversion to Leonard Fournette. So the use of Gronk to gather that information is not something that I felt Tampa has done a lot, and I saw it a lot, and I saw it yesterday. And then I think Leonard Fournette, candidly, has become the second most trusted person on this offense for Tom outside of Gronk.
Well, trust is one word. You use the word comfortable for what you're seeing in Brady right
now.
Yeah,
like when you look at Brady and with this team, when he became a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, we talk about Mike Evans and we talked about Chris Godwin, but I feel like it's been the guys that's come to Tampa because of Tom Brady. When you look at the way he played with Rob Gronkowski as compared to season off with Rob Gronkowski, you're undefeated before he gets hurt. Now he comes back and you're winning games again. But you're winning games because Rob Gronkowski makes plays. And I said this on the show a couple of weeks ago. I think he's the most complete all time. I think he's the best tight end of all time. And I think he's the most important tight end in football today. And when you watch Tampa Bay in the red zone, when you watch Tampa Bay on huge plays, Rob Gronkowski is either the person that catches the football, the person that gives you the information of where you want to throw the football, or the guy that is blocking for you to get a short yardage conversion because he's an all-around player.
Rex, he's
the most important guy in that. If you watch him, it looks just like what we used to see from Gronk, right? They're splitting him out by himself. He's doing all the things that he did, all kidding aside,
in
his prime.
And in 2 weeks in a row, I'm going to sit back and say, you guys, I got that love for Gronkowski. And no, the most important guy is still Tom Brady. Yeah. It doesn't matter. And so, but yeah, no, this is it. And you're right. The trust and comfort that he has with Gronk. And it's incredible, but it's all about Tom Brady. He's so smart. Mm-hmm. He filters the information for that entire football team. And that's the guy, and that's why it doesn't matter what decal is on Tom Brady's helmet, he wins.
So he finds a way to win at the age of 44. Meanwhile, there were 2 quarterbacks going head-to-head that if you add up their ages, it's practically not that old. Justin Herbert and the Chargers visiting Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Same draft class. What a matchup. Here we go. Bengals down 9-0 in the first. Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Dan, what the actual heck?
Yeah, it's a beautiful touchdown pass. What? Ja'Marr Chase. You know, this is going a little bit back into the summertime.
August.
This is a touchdown that he just bobbles and it turns.
That was Harlem Globetrotters-like.
7 points off the board.
And this is the next play.
And this is Herbert getting outside of the pocket, throws that ball from the 18-yard line, one-on-one Mike Williams downfield. That is just my guy better than your guy. One of those opportunity throws, 81 makes the play.
Williams had five catches for 110 yards in the game, and then later in the drive, it's Keenan Allen.
Mm. Free safety, what is you doing? Leave in the middle
of
the
field. You don't want to.
What is you doing?
Touchdown, Keenan.
That was his second touchdown of the day, second quarter with Burrow. What? Rex, you've been calling for Jalen Guyton.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Throw the darn thing deep to this guy right here. He actually underthrew him a little bit, but Herbert, it's all right. I'll give it to you.
24-0 after the two-point conversion now. Ensuing possession. How about this throw, Dan?
This is absolutely perfect. T. Higgins down the middle of the field, in between two defenders, where only your guy, 85, can go make that catch.
All right, so now it's 24-6. Next drive, Joe Burrow, tough hit.
I love the feel, though. You know, second and goal, middle of the field kind of opens up. No hesitation. He goes and scores.
Look at the finger. I mean, he hangs in there. You look at the obvious pain that he's in with the pinky, but he's not coming out of there no matter what. Third quarter, Bengals are working their way back into it, and here's Joe Mixon.
Run game couldn't get going yesterday, but finally the second cut by Joe Mixon gets them in the end zone.
But hold on, it was Mixon, because now the Bengals have come all the way back in as they're looking to try and take control of the game. Instead, it goes the other way.
You're going on the drive, and then that ball gets not only punched out on second down, but returned for a touchdown for this defense, the turning point of this game.
That's the whole game right there. Those two turnovers changed the entire game, one at the beginning, one at the end, and in the end, the Chargers win it 41-22. But don't let the final score fool you. These teams are a lot more even than that. The two young quarterbacks combined for 617 yards passing. Primary takeaway as we see these two young guys, a matchup we might be seeing for a long
time. Both are future stars. Mm-hmm. Both are future MVPs. Both guys have an opportunity to win the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow right now is the guy I start a team with. And the reason is belief. When you watch the Cincinnati Bengals and they get down to the Los Angeles Chargers, they have belief in number nine. And we haven't seen that in Cincinnati. That wasn't there when Rex and I were playing against the Cincinnati Bengals. They didn't have that with Andy Dalton, maybe a little bit with Carson Palmer. And you're seeing it again. When you watch him on the sideline trying to get back into the game so he could throw the football, trying to play, and then willing his team to a two-point deficit and now driving them. Joe Mixon fumbles that ball. It takes the air out of the stadium. It takes the air out of this football team. But if you're the Cincinnati Bengals and Zach Taylor, you have your guy. Your job is consistency. Two times this
year, you're right.
You have huge wins.
Yeah.
You beat the brakes off the Baltimore Ravens, and you go to the New York Jets, and you lose. And now you win a huge game at home, right? You have an opportunity to play another team in the playoff hunt with a quarterback drafted in the same draft class, and you come out and you trick it off. You can't do that if the Cincinnati Bengals are trying to show people that they're a different team than they've been.
Two great quarterbacks. Yeah. But, Rex, you said in our meeting this morning, Justin Herbert is a young who?
John Elway. I mean, that's when I think about it, his athleticism. He's got that bazooka for an arm.
Yeah.
And the only one, there's one coordinator that I know can hold this guy back. That's his dang offensive coordinator.
Joe Lombardi.
To me, Joe Lombardi,
finally
we saw him throw the ball down the field. We've been asking for it forever. And if they do that, it's going to be the entire field for them.
So, Danny, these are two teams trying to make playoff runs with the young quarterbacks. Which one are you buying? Who's making the playoff run?
Oh, I think Cincinnati will make the playoff run. I trust Cincinnati way more. This game swung because the Jamar Chase and then the Joe Mixon
Bumble.
Turnover not only takes 14 points off the board, it's really a 28-point swing.
Right.
I'll take Cincinnati. I think their offense can be more explosive as well.
We started with Pittsburgh, Baltimore. Those three teams, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. Which one are you buying to win the division?
You know what I'm buying? The Cincinnati Bengals, because that's the team we've seen stump both of these teams out this year.
The Chargers are going to make it also. Let's not make it twisted. Yep. They did win the game by 20 points.
We'll see. Both those divisions are kind of up in the air. Meanwhile, the biggest game of the weekend, maybe the biggest game of the year, is tonight. Monday Night Football, Mac Jones, the Patriots. They're right now number one in the AFC. Josh Allen and the Bills have other ideas. 8 Eastern tonight. ESPN2 has Peyton and Eli. Going to be great. Monday Night Football across ESPN this evening. Meanwhile, the college football playoff is set. We're answering all your questions. Can Michigan beat Georgia? Is Bama primed to repeat? Does anyone give Cincinnati a shot? Answers to those and other questions next.
Tired of
of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are watching Get Up, presented by T-Mobile. And it is this time every Monday that we bring Ryan Clark in here. He's the most entertaining Twitter follow on Sundays, actually any day of the week. But right now he's going to explain three of his tweets from yesterday. And he, I love this first one. He writes, "I see you, Marlon Davidson. What a play in the drop by the big man. What Wentzian Staffordism has taken over the GOAT? No way in hell backed up with no time up 10 would the man in the arena do this. It's a game now. Bruh, Tom about to tear some poop emoji up. Get TB to sign it, bro." RC, explain that tweet.
Like, you already know, going into the game, if you're a big man, you don't get many opportunities to get interceptions. And Marlon Davidson, you absolutely do not get many opportunities to intercept the GOAT. Now, you know what this is about? Byron Leftwich saying, we're going to throw it 50 times. The Atlanta Falcons can't stop us. They ain't stopped us all half. Let's get out of the end zone. They did not get out of the end zone. And we have our quarterback here who understands end zone mistakes. And if you Marlon Davidson, you walk over to Tom Brady after the game and you say, here's the football, Mr. Brady, can you please sign it? Because I am now the man in the arena.
It doesn't wind up hurting them in any way, but that was one of the worst decisions to try and do whatever it is that we're trying to do down there of the entire day in the league. All right, meanwhile, next. The Detroit Lions did all they could to lose today, but the Minnesota Vikings just refused to let them lion their way into another one. As Detroit reached for dear life in desperate need of a loss, Minnesota held that L as close as Noah held Allie at the end of The Notebook. RC, explain
Listen,
that tweet.
The Notebook is one of the greatest movies of all time. I don't care what anyone says. And Noah refused to let Allie go the same way the Detroit Lions were refusing to let that L go. But you know what happened? The Minnesota Vikings held it closer. The Minnesota Vikings held it tighter. The Minnesota Vikings told that L, I choose you, and I will choose you every single day of the week. They tried to cousins them way out of it at first, but they couldn't. And then Matthew Stafford was like, you know what? I don't want them to go defeated the whole season. He touched Jared Goff, and Jared Goff felt blessed for the last minute of the game. And Mike Zimmer said, we will not play tight defense. We will not stop you. We will allow you to get in the end zone and score. And Jared Goff now has a W.
That's awesome. What the hell were they doing defensively on that play?
Have no idea.
We will come to that. It was ridiculous.
Mike Zimmer's definitely mean and surly this morning.
One more tweet. And RC tweets. I'm still laughing. I bet Mina Kimes is sitting in the ESPN cafe with a fire inexpensive plate of goodies, cussing the Cardinals for throwing a fade in the red zone on 4th and 2. Wait, they threw it to D-Hop. She's probably cool with it. RC, go.
First of all, shout out to the ESPN cafeteria in Bristol, Connecticut. You make great food. It is inexpensive. I will always be there for you. Now, when you look at this game, you're like, you can't throw a red zone fade on 4th and 2. But you say, wait. That's D-Hop. Wait. That's Kyler Murray throwing it. This team is 10-2. They went on the road and they beat the brakes off of the Bears. At some point, we're going to have to start talking about how good this football team actually is. They won 2 of 3 games with Colt McCoy, and they rode the bucking Bronco that is known as Cliff Kingsbury with the palatial estate in Scottsdale, Arizona. We better respect the Cardinals. Remember, always beat turkey bacon.
And yet, look, they obliterate the Bears yesterday. And the Bears, Danny, come on in here. I mean, I will never get back the 3 hours of my life that I spent watching the Bears play football yesterday. That was just inexplicably
awful. You've got to watch 6 games at one time and let them be one.
Well, but if that happens to be the game that you're watching, but let's just very quickly. I mean, we talk about all year long. We've talked about it was the Cowboys. It was the Rams. It's Brady's team. It's Aaron Rodgers' team. Is Arizona the best team in the NFL?
Best team in the NFL, I don't put them in the best team in the NFL. I think they're the best team in the NFC. I think that is a worthy conversation. Kyler being, I still think New England's going to, like a matchup that no one wants to play. Kyler's ability to throw from the pocket, get the ball out quickly, use his legs, hop back healthy. Their defense takes the ball away. My only concern with them is they can get the ball ran on them.
I think we have to get out of the historic mindset of what the Cardinals have not been for so long. For so long, we haven't seen the Cardinals win football games. For so long, they have been who we thought they were. Now with Kyler, they're different. Cliff Kingsbury, Vance Joseph, he's the defensive coordinator. I think this is going to be a tough team to beat down the stretch, because when you look at the games they lost, one is Colt McCoy at quarterback. The other, A.J. Green, forgot he played green receiver and thought he played right tackle. Yeah. This is the team that's played extraordinary football the entire season. They'll have a chance to have a ring.
Kyler was hurt. So we didn't know, okay, who are they? Although they won those games without Kyler, they scored like 15 points. So
let's put it this way. If they were doing what they're doing with Green Bay Packers uniforms on, they're the only team we would talk about all season long. Let's just be fair.
Thanks for being honest.
Much more on the NFL as we continue. But obviously this weekend was also very much about the college football playoff, and it is set. Here's what we've got. The Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic. It'll be number 4 Cincinnati making history, and try make more looking to upset the number 1 team in the country, Alabama. The Crimson Tide, a 13.5-point favorite. The Capital One Orange Bowl, number 3 Georgia, number 2 Michigan. The Wolverines, a 7.5-point underdog. And so let's bring in the college crew. Heather Dinch is at the DFW airport looking to fly home, but we won't let her catch an early flight because we need her here this morning. And Paul Feinbaum and Desmond Howard, who was just on cloud 9 with his Wolverines in this dance. So the 14 playoff is set. Des, let's start with this. Alabama is number 1. There were a lot of people who thought maybe Michigan should be number 1. Did the committee get that right yesterday?
There's an argument for each team. I think that when you look at the way that Alabama played lately, you know, there's an argument you would say, well, maybe not. But then when you knock off the number 1 team, the consensus number 1 team in the country, the Georgia Bulldogs in the SEC championship game, then I understand why they got denied. But the Michigan Wolverines are trending in the right direction. I mean, to take on Ohio State 2 weeks ago and beat them the way they did soundly in Ann Arbor, and then to back that up with the Big Ten championship win over Iowa, 42-3, such a resounding victory. The way that they've been playing, I could have very easily have seen the committee put them at the number 1 position, the pole position. So there's an argument either way. Personally, I thought Michigan deserved the nod at number 1. I was watching Chris Fowler's nightcap recap, and he convinced me that Michigan should have been the number 1 team. But you know, it's okay. Alabama, they finished really strongly with that victory over Georgia.
And it's not a victory, Paul, that a lot of people expected to see. And Bryce Young gave you one of the great big game performances that you will ever see from anyone at any position. So Bama goes in. How about what they did on Saturday? And how do you see them as they go forward here looking for another championship?
I think they're in a very good position, Greeny, but I agree with Desmond in this regard. I don't think it's clear cut. I think had Michigan ended up being number 1, there may have been some cries from Tuscaloosa, but quite frankly, it wouldn't have been the wrong choice. But when you beat the number 1 team, I think you deserve it. So here's Alabama. I still think they're vulnerable. I know that's not popular to say today after what they did to Georgia. But this is not a clear-cut favorite like it has been, especially last year. I think Alabama has some tough sledding ahead.
Heather, we talked about it on Friday. Frankly, you and I have been talking about it all year long. Cincinnati looking to make history. They do it. They get in. They're the first group of 5 team to get into the playoffs. So congratulations to them. Their reward is they get Nick Saban and legendary Alabama. What is the reaction here, and what is the expectation for these Bearcats going in?
Well, the expectation is to continue to fight just like they have every single weekend and really, really punctuate the resume with real history. And Greeny, we have to remember that this was a true once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, because it wasn't just that they went 13-0 for the first time in school history. Think of all the things that happened around them in order to help around in this place. Their win against Notre Dame carried them to the very end. But Greeny, one of my favorite sports, one of all time, is Little Giants. And I think of the scene at halftime where the kids are saying, one to Kim, one time. And it reminds me of Cincinnati this year. And if they could pull it off just they could one time, imagine what it'll do for the group of 5 moving forward, especially in an expanded playoff.
Will they be doing it against the Heisman winner? Is there any question, Heather, but that Bryce Young, and we've lost Desmond for the moment. I would ask him normally as our resident Heisman winner. Did Bryce Young lock up the Heisman with that performance on Saturday?
Well, it's hard to imagine he didn't. I mean, you have to at least consider Aiden Hutchinson. Also, Kenny Pickett should be in the conversation as well. But what Bryce Young did and why he did it was his offensive line. Greeny, a week ago, they gave up 7 sacks, and Bryce Young wasn't able to do anything until that fourth quarter to send it into overtime against Auburn. And then on Saturday against one of the best teams, they were able to protect him and went toe-to-toe, gave up no sacks against the best defense in the country. That's why they're number one right now.
And then on the other side of it, Paul, Georgia is more than a touchdown favorite against a Michigan team that, as Desmond just pointed out, is coming in as hot as you can possibly be. And there were many who thought Georgia was exposed over the weekend. What is your sense of that game? And what are the callers on the talk shows today going to be talking about with you today about Georgia?
There will be some people railing against Kirby Smart. Once again, in the big moment, Greeny, he did not deliver. Now, again, it was against Nick Saban, but this is now 3 times that he's had a 10-point or more lead in a championship game against Nick Saban and failed. So he has a lot of questions, especially at the quarterback position. Did he play the right one in the fourth quarter?
And very quickly, because I know you need to jump on a flight, Heather, we've seen Alabama, Georgia in a championship game before. Is that the expectation again?
I would say it is. As hard as Cincinnati is going to fight, you know that Alabama is the team to beat right now. And I do think, as much as everybody's made it about a rematch and avoiding a rematch, we're going to see a rematch.
All right, we will see. Heather, travel safe. Thank you for hanging on for us here. Paul, we'll talk a little bit later as the morning continues. And then the football continues tonight here on ESPN. Monday Night Football. Peyton and Eli are ready to go with the Patriots and the Bills. It's the biggest game of the year. They'll have a particular focus on the quarterbacks, Mac Jones and Josh Allen. Should be awesome Monday Night Football. ESPN, the ESPN app, ESPN2, anywhere you want it. We've got your football covered. Coming up with the clock about to strike midnight on the Steelers season, Big Ben delivered one more thrilling comeback. What did it mean? We'll talk about that and more as we continue next here on Get Up, which is brought to you by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network. From where you tailgate, only T-Mobile keeps you connected to your team with the most 5G coverage nationwide. Switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G.